God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
Businessman must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius, because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to The Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. I'm joined by Leonora Cravota. Hello, Leonora.
Good morning, Scott.
And man, oh, Manischewitz, we have a lot going on today. And, you know, there's a lot of discussion and debate going on about this, you know, withdrawal of Syrian troops, or withdrawal of U.S. troops from Syria. And it's really put a little bit of a split in the Republican Party. There's a lot of people that listen to this show, and there's a lot of conservatives and Republicans out there that are upset. Even Brian Kilmeade is on the side that would suggest that, you know, that we need to have the Kurds back, and that we shouldn't abandon the Kurds, that this is something that's happened before, where, you know, how are we going to rely on these people? How are we going to rely on the Kurds again if we ever need them? They stood there and they fought for us. And as Meghan McCain put it, you know, all we had to do was arm them.
Right.
And then a light bulb went off in my head and I was thinking,
Yeah, suddenly all these people who don't even know what a Kurd was are suddenly talking about the Kurds.
No, when she said all we had to do was arm them.
Arm them, yes.
Oh, well, who's getting paid for those arms? Oh, maybe daddy. You know, maybe your daddy used to do that. He set the whole deal up before he died. You know, John McCain and Lindsey Graham were getting fat off the hog.
And that's why Lindsey Graham is so disappointed with this latest policy change by President Trump. And Lindsey Graham lately has been very supportive of the president. So he's doing a real about face with the Syrian policy.
Well, you know, I was listening to Tucker last night, and Tucker had on a really good piece, a good segment with Colonel Douglas McGregor,
who we both know, and he made an excellent point.
Right, he made a really good point, and we're going to go ahead and play that clip today. And you know, his particular point, I think, nailed it. It got a lot of buzz. It was basically well received. And I said this, Colonel McGregor explained it perfectly on Tucker. And, you know, one of the things that I think is true is what people are missing. I'm actually queuing this up as we speak. But one of the latest tweets I tweeted out was this. I think this encapsulates what people might be missing. Number one, Trump has put out a series of tweets on this particular topic, a lot of tweets. Yeah. And he also was at the Japan trade signing yesterday, and he spoke very strongly about this topic. And what he said was, we're supposed to be there on a blip. We're supposed to just get in there on a hit, get in there and get out. And here we are 18 years later, we're still there. And at what point does it become enough, right? At what point do you tell the Kurds it's time to go off to college and get your own apartment, right? I mean, we can no longer
We can't continue these forever wars. That's what it basically comes down
right,
to.
Right, but they have to find a solution that's you know, it's better to teach a man to fish than to, you know, provide them with fish, right?
Right.
That they could eat forever. All right, so the point here is this. You have a lot of these people like Nikki Haley, Lindsey Graham, Meghan McCain outraged over this situation. And I said this. I said, there's more to this puzzle than meets the eye. Number one, the Kurds can actually find their way to Damascus in Syria, and that would go a long way in helping stabilize the region. Also, China and Russia, as Trump put it, love to see America being bogged down in financial with the finances and the upkeep of this, you know, quicksand. It's just a bunch of mud. And at the end of the day, what do we get for our investment? And Trump has already asked Europe to help out. Hey, could you take your ISIS warriors back and put them in your jails? Why do we have to fund the, foot the bill on the jails? But there's another huge, huge, huge point that I want to make. And this is the point that you're not going to hear anywhere else. Mm-hmm. You're not going to hear this point anywhere else. And what this is about is this is about also cutting off the supply chains. So, you know, there are supply chains. So I tweeted this out and I said, in addition to Trump's threat of sanctions to Turkey, meaning he threatened Turkey, if you invade other countries and if you slaughter the Kurds, we are going to sanction the heck out of you and bring you to your knees financially. And they're probably not going to do that, not to mention the fact that it gives Erdogan an opportunity to pull his pants down, because Erdogan is not someone that Trump likes. He acts like he likes him, but he has to get along with Erdogan. He has to actually be the matador with the red cape, and Erdogan, being the boneheaded bull that he is going to, you know, basically run into the red cape. And so Trump understands that this is a strong man, right? So he's placating to the guy, but he's also putting the guy in the box. Now it's Turkey's bill. Now Turkey has to foot the bill. It's Turkey's responsibility. And if they mess it up, guess what? They get sanctioned and they also get ousted. And they also get outcasted. They get pushed out of NATO because they really are a strategic landmass. But now the onus is on them to do the right thing. And if they don't, they'll go financially broke. And they'll be isolated from the world and the family of nations. So I tweeted this out. I said, in addition to Trump's threat of sanctions to Turkey and Kurds' ability to avoid conflict by finding safe haven in Damascus, at real Donald Trump's withdrawal in Syria will disrupt black market supply chains by removing demand while indicting the players at the top of the pyramid. Now, what that's about is this. We're already knocking off the Bidens and the corrupt players in Ukraine, for example, right? Ukraine, you got shipment cargo systems that are related to Ghislaine Maxwell. You got her boyfriend up in Boston who's connected with Cargometrics. And Cargometrics is connected with moving Ukraine energy cells and fuel rods around the world and weapons. You got Enron and the power players with the Bushes and the Cheneys. And you have the neocons, all the neocons, a lot of neocons. In fact, even Victoria Nuland from the State Department, who's in a lot of hot water these days, her husband is a neocon, Kagan, who actually works at the Brookings Institute, the same institute that's connected with Lawfare, that's connected with the Kavanaugh hit, that's connected with the Ukraine hit, that's connected with the Russiagate, and all the other things that represent the swamp in Washington, D.C. Now, this is all part of this corrupt supply chain. And what is it like? It's like with drugs, right? Yeah. You want to put up a border to slow down the drugs coming in. You want to maybe also send some enforcements over overseas to knock out the poppy seed fields, break up the supply chains, and incarcerate and indict some of the drug lords, right?
But then you also want to suppress the demand.
That's the supply side. But there's also this demand side, because if there's a demand, you can knock out the supplier, and guess what? a new supplier will fill those shoes.
But if you show enough of those commercials of this is your brain on drugs, maybe the supply chain dies as well.
So what we're doing is we're getting rid of the corruption in, say, Ukraine as one good example, and all the pipelines and supply chains and shipments and cargoes, weapons, human trafficking, drugs, oil, right? You get those and you break those up by going after people like Joe Biden and his son Hunter Biden would be great examples of that. How about Adam Schiff and his crony Igor Pasternak, right? All these different players, right? And then all these other fat cats that are getting rich off of this deal. All these so-called ambassadors, right? Greenlighting things, blockading, obstructing justice and all kinds of things. Firing prosecutors. Everything you need to do to keep that pyramid at the top rich. But if you disrupt that and you take them off the top of that pyramid, you know what? The problem is still going to be the demand is there. The demand is there and somebody else will replace that with new corruption. So what you do is you cut off the need for weapon distribution, especially in particular the one that's already been set up in full operation going right into the Middle East. This perpetual conflict has been great for people like Lindsey Graham and John McCain and neocons around the world that love exploiting the black market weapons distribution channels and oil channels and drug channels and basically other ways to pay channels. So this particular thing that Trump is doing is he's saying we don't need to be shooting weapons. And therefore, if we're not expending weapons, we're not consuming weapons. And if we're not consuming weapons, there needs to be no supply for weapons.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And we're back. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. And we're so happy you could join us. I'm joined by Leonard Kubota. I'm happy about that.
Oh, me too. I'm happy to be here.
Now, I don't know which one to play first, the good cop or the bad cop.
So, why don't you start with the bad cop? I think okay. It's always better to move towards the positive.
All right. So this is Meghan McCain. This is your typical nut job neocon. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and play Meghan McCain. Here she is.
A little bit rogue, but I've been so mad this morning.
She's mad.
So upset about this news that we are abandoning our Kurdish allies mm-hmm. in the Middle uh-huh. East. Mm. These are allies of ours that American soldiers are still continuing to fight alongside.
Okay, I'm going to pause that for a second. There's 1,000 soldiers that we're dealing with right here, and we're not abandoning them. We've actually threatened Turkey that says if you lay a glove on them, we're going to, you know, mm-hmm. sanction you to a great extent. But, you know, naturally, we need to pull our soldiers out. Not one of our soldiers is there on the ground getting dirty. We have 1,000 support systems, 1,000 troops that they're there for support, not pulling the trigger. What she says next, though, is the key. She says they have fought for us and they've risked their lives for us, and all we had to do was give them weapons.
All right, why don't you play it?
And that's where the money comes in.
What we did was arm them, and they fought
right
for America.
You hear
and
that?
They fought right them, arm them, and they fought right continuing to fight alongside. All we did was arm them, and they fought for America. And right now, we're just saying we're just going to leave them and abandon them. And to everyone in the White House and every Republican who was mad that President Obama pulled out of Iraq, you
not the same thing.
Unpatriotic cowards. I cannot believe this is where we're at. Diplomatic lies. And I cannot believe this is what message is this sending to our allies who have fought alongside us and to our American troops who have fought and died for this. And I cannot believe I'm waking up in the morning seeing this kind of news. And I don't care that he ran on pulling troops out. There's a whole different thing. We leave this. This is a great day for ISIS and this is a great day for Assad. And shame on everyone who is supporting this. Right. And I'm sorry this is not the topic, but I just right. couldn't come out here today and not say this.
No.
All right. So that's a bunch of BS.
Yeah, well, here we go. And again, we have a show where all the clapping occurs because the two token Republicans are two daughters of privilege whose fathers right. ran for president and they're representing the Republican voice. Very interesting.
So what you're hearing there is a pack of lies.
Right.
Because the establishment of ISIS, okay, when are we ever going to leave? So no matter when we leave, right, you're going to always have this argument that says ISIS is going to come back.
Yeah.
Well, Trump knocked the crap out of ISIS. Okay. He knocked them out. Now we said, we're leaving. Now, if they come back, Turkey, the onus is on you. This is your problem. You're going to have to deal with it. And that's that, right? And so there's that part. And if the Kurds, you know, if Turkey wants to go after the Kurds, they can do that, and that's fine. But we're going to then sanction them and isolate them, which is really, in some part, exactly where we want them, because they are not a civilized nation anymore, because Erdogan's not a civilized leader. And this is going to also create leverage over Iran, because Turkey's been helping Iran. They're not going to be able to, they're going to be in direct conflict, because Iran, if they do go into Syria, what's going to happen is there's going to be this wall that's going to impact Iran's ability to have free flow distribution to Lebanon, because there's in Lebanon's where they house Hezbollah, which is pretty much financed by Iran. Hamas, also in Lebanon, is financed by the Palestinian Authority. Sunnis, Shias, you know, it's all big tribal mess. But we're going to listen to Doug McGregor talk about this. And this is going to be a much, much more pragmatic solution. And I think you're going to really appreciate where he's coming from in this. I thought this was one of the more brilliant analysis of this topic. And let's listen.
See that we know, and on nights like this, we're always grateful to have him. Colonel, what do you make of the response to the president's announcement?
Well, the swamp is clearly very disturbed, because the president has done something that I have not witnessed in the last 30 years. He's actually injecting strategy back into American foreign and defense policy. Let me explain. He's turned to Mr. Erdogan, who has been trying to carve out a portion of Syria now for a very long time. Remember, Mr. Erdogan is also partially responsible for standing up ISIS. Then ISIS turned out to be a Frankenstein's monster, and he decided it needed to be brought under control. Now he wants to resettle Sunni Arab refugees in northwestern Syria and create a kind of security zone for Turkish interests. But he's also simultaneously told Mr. Erdogan, you can do this, but now you are responsible for dealing with ISIS if ISIS rears its head. If it comes back, it's your problem. Now, this is a very important point. The president has shifted the burden of responsibility for something that is clearly regional, clearly goes back to Turkey, to Mr. Erdogan. At the same time, Russia has promised to maintain the territorial integrity of Syria, come what may. How is Russia going to deal with Mr. Erdogan, who has decided to carve out a piece of Syria for his own purposes? And then we have Iran. Iran wants to maintain its connectivity to Lebanon and its Shiite allies in that country. But with the Turks dominating northern Syria, Iran now is going to be unable, or at least will find it far, far more difficult to connect with Lebanon. The point is, the president has checkmated all of the key players in the region in Syria. Now they must confront each other for a change.
But wait a second, you're leaving out a key point, and the one that I've been hearing all day long on a loop on television, which is our only allies in the world, the Kurds of Syria. What about them? Everybody on television basically spent 12 hours today in a kind of tribute to the Syrian Kurds.
Before we arrived, the Maoist communist Kurds in northern Syria, who have a long history and a close relationship with Moscow as a result, were always interested in allying themselves with anyone that would further their cause when their cause involves independence for themselves in Syria and also attacks against the Turks, whom they regard as enemies. In our absence, the Kurds now have to make a decision. Do we make a peace with Damascus, which is what the Russians have told them to do, which is what we have privately told them to do, which is what the Syrian government would like them to do? Or did the Kurds decide to take on the Turks independently? I rather think that the Syrian Kurds will decide that it's probably in their interest to side with Damascus. So once we pull out, I think we'll see that happen. But here's something else. Israel benefits from this, because Iran is now at loggerheads with Turkey. Iran is interested in connecting to Hezbollah. The Russians have no interest in turning Syria into a platform for attack against Israel. Huh. So the Russians and the Iranians, who are checkmated by the Turks, Now the Turks and all three of these people have to deal with the reality that Israel and the United States are benefiting from our withdrawal.
You know, that's not at all what Nikki Haley said in her tweet, but I think you make a persuasive case.
All right, so that is one of the, that's perhaps the most brilliant explanation I've ever heard on this particular topic.
And I like the part where he talked about how all the key players were checkmated, and that's part of the brilliance of the strategy.
Yeah, and remember this too, that Russia doesn't particularly love Turkey.
They don't.
Remember the Russian fighter that went 20 seconds into Turkish airspace about 7 years ago, 5 years ago, 6 years ago? I forget when exactly it was.
Apparently, you do if you've thrown out three different ideas.
No, but it was about 5 years ago, 6 years ago. A Russian fighter jet. Mm-hmm. It was flying in a no-fly zone, but they had airspace.
Mm-hmm.
And they went into, for 20 seconds, into Turkish airspace because they were probably over the top of where Turkey was harboring ISIS rebels, right? So ISIS is Sunni. Turkey is becoming more like a Sunni Islamic state, at odds perhaps with Iran to a certain degree. But they get along all right.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about it is that when they did that because Russia was trying to save Assad's regime.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, Russia has a really important naval base called Targus on the western flank, just, on the western coast, not far from Cyprus, but on the western coast of Syria. And so I think Turkey was harboring ISIS warriors. And doing that as part of NATO is pretty much a big no-no. So we'll get to more of this after the break.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with The Scott Adams Show.
And we're back. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to The Scott Adams Show. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. So Donald Trump has really put out some really great tweets. And first I want to read the one that is associated with the pull out of Syria. He wrote a really good series of tweets on that, and in addition, he just came out with a couple of new ones. He was talking about this. He was I was elected on getting out of these ridiculous endless wars. Where are great military functions as a policing operation to the benefit of people who don't even like the USA. The two most unhappy countries at this move are Russia and China because they love seeing us bogged down, watching over a quagmire and spending big dollars to do so. When I took over, our military was totally depleted. Now it is stronger than ever before. The endless and ridiculous wars are ending. We will be focused on the big picture, knowing we can always go back and blast. I love that.
Yeah, I like that too.
So he also came out with this. He retweeted Kurt Schlichter, who said, Turkey is invading northern Syria. The president is keeping us out of it. The gang that never met a war they didn't want to fight and fail to win will be outraged. When they howl, ask them one thing. Ask them exactly how many American lives it's worth. I say zero. Now, that being said, that's a weaker argument. I think that the better argument, again, is the one I came up with in the beginning of this segment, this hour. And that is that one of the things this does, what has Meghan McCain so upset, is these neocons really depended on the consumption of weapons, the expenditure of weapons, right? The expending of weapons and the dirty, dark money that was used to finance it. And so, you know, once you knock out the top of the pyramid, like we're doing with the Bidens and we're knocking out the deep state and we're getting rid of the swamp, those are the people at the top of the pyramid that love the status quo and the corruption as usual, the scandals, the corruption, the opportunities that are only you can get if you're the son of a vice president or if you're a president or if you're secretary of state or you know somebody like that, like a Hillary Clinton. So these are the types of people that, you know, are in power and can control the wheels of government. Take a Victoria Nuland, for example. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking about her today. And so you get these people in the State Department and all these different players, right? And these congressmen that they actually take money for votes, right? You pay me enough and I'll vote a certain way. So we see all this happening. You cut them out, right? You cut them out. Adam Schiff and his Igor Pasternak guy, right? You cut them out, and no longer do they have weapons to shoot. So now who's going to replace them? If there's a strong demand, you can always count on replacement of that corruption. There'll be new shoes, new people filling those shoes, right? Mm-hmm. But if you cut off the demand and you disrupt the supply, the supplier's going to realize there's no more business, right? It's all washed up. It's a dead economy, right? It's a dead business. So why would I ever even get back into taking that risk if the reward at the end of the rainbow is not going to be that great anymore? Because there are no wars to supply. So Trump ultimately wants that because it does two things. It not only saves blood and treasure and money and gets us out of a mess that has no real solution and no real gold at the end of the rainbow, right? There's nothing to win. There's no trophy at the end. So he gets us out of that, but he also disrupts the corrupt players in the swamp that are actually part of the problem of the corruption of Ukraine, because people are getting bought and sold and spit out and murdered in the dark market. And so the problem gets resolved by, if you want to clean up Ukraine, this is one way to do it. And a lot of people aren't thinking about Syria and our withdrawal from Syria and ending the endless conflicts. They're not thinking about how this actually disrupts the supply chain of illegal weapons distribution and drug and human trafficking and other ways that people actually pay. Mm-hmm. Those are currencies. I give you a child from the Philippines, that might be worth $50,000.
Yeah.
That can get me some Kalashnikovs. Right? But it sounds horrible, but that's the reality of life. And that's a horrible reality, right? So I want to read to you Donald Trump's latest tweet from this morning. And he says this. He says, "So many people conveniently forget that Turkey is a big trading partner of the United States. In fact, they make the structural steel frame for our F-35 fighter jets. They have also been good to deal with, helping me to save many lives in Idlib province and returning in very good health at my request. Pastor Brunson, who had many years of a long prison term remaining, was released. Also remember, and importantly, that Turkey is an important member of, in good standing, of NATO. He is coming to the U.S. as my guest on November 13th, and #EndEndlessWars. So that's that. And I'm going to take a caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, morning, Scott Lenore.
Good morning.
Hey. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Oh, this is Scott in San Diego.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm curious. Can you explain to the people? Now, you were just talking about how these subpoenas aren't really subpoenas. They're requests.
Right.
But the media is running around yelling, subpoena, subpoena, subpoena.
Okay. It's about
Can you explain it's about to people
jurisdiction.
How ignorant they are?
Yeah, it's about jurisdiction. So the only committee that has jurisdiction over impeachment is the Judicial Committee, which would mean that Nadler would be in charge of this, not Adam Schiff. But Adam Schiff is running this show because he's in bed with the whistleblowers who are in bed with Lawfare, who's in bed with the Brookings Institute, and who's in bed with the Atlantic Council, and who's connected with James Clapper, and who's connected with Ukraine and Mueller. And you can go on and on with that. But there's a lot of corruption there. And even Victoria Nuland's husband is considered, if you look up Kagan, her husband, Kagan, I forget his first name, but Gordon Kagan or something like that. But if you look up her husband, It says he's a neocon. He works at the Brookings Institute. And again, this is the organization that's married to Lawfare. And if you look at Benjamin Witz, for example, he's the founder of Lawfare, and he's a member of Brookings Institute. They're partnered. So what I'm saying is that this is a big, huge, soft coup run by a bunch of lawyers in Washington, D.C. swamp. And so this is a ruse. What they call a subpoena is actually basically a request or an order to testify or cooperate. And so what Trump is about to do is sending that letter saying, we're no longer going to cooperate until you actually put things on the floor for a vote. Otherwise, we're no longer exactly. cooperating.
Yeah, and the media is going to turn that around and say that Trump is refusing to cooperate and make it sound like an illegal thing.
It's got to be done right by the book.
His legal rights to do so.
Yeah, and all this secrecy, too. You know, Mark Thiessen and Byron York put out a really good piece about secrecy. You know, they're talking about this whistleblower actually going to Washington, and they're going to be held up in a hotel with a shade, like a not even on camera, with a fake voice. You know, those voiceovers that they do?
Uh-huh.
Because, yeah. You know, more than likely it's, and that should indicate and tell us that it's someone we'll recognize, like a Sue Gordon or someone like that.
I just wanted,
or it's nobody.
Or it's nobody. You're right.
I just wanted to compliment what the caller was saying by mentioning some breaking news that the Trump administration has ordered the U.S. ambassador to the European Union, Sutherland, not to testify, Gordon Sutherland.
Wow.
So yeah. That just happened.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to
Gordon
see what the reaction.
Sondland, yeah. Gordon Sondland's the guy
whole thing
that actually
is just becoming a big ball of yarn.
Yeah, well, you know, if anybody buys what Bill Taylor was doing with that text, you know, Bill Taylor, he's the Ukraine ambassador right now. And this guy, Trump said he doesn't know these ambassadors. He said, I saw him say this, and he said, I don't know the ambassadors. They were hired, you know, they're in these positions. But this Bill Taylor, you know, when he sent that text to Gordon Sondland, that was a trap. That was a setup. That was trying to, you know, put out their contemporaneous evidence that to suggest there was some credibility to the whistleblower. But this is all blowing up in their
face.
All
right, I hear the music.
Yeah.
All right, thanks,
hey,
Scott,
thank
for
you.
Calling
thanks,
in.
Thanks, Scott, from
thanks
San Diego,
for, my call.
For calling
Bye,
in.
Bye, guys.
All right, we're up against the break.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And we're back. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. So Trump is going to be in Minnesota, Minneapolis, Minnesota, which is turning out to be a real Somalian center, too. You know, I mean,
the population has definitely shifted over there.
No, I saw videos of Mall of America, for example, and it looked like another country.
Yeah, I used to go to the Mall of America a lot when I worked for a company where we had an office there. It's changed a lot. When you're overlooking that Camp Snoopy, it looks a lot different
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I mean, these are the same people that brought to you Ilhan Omar, American-hating Ilhan Omar. And they have a mayor there, and his name is Jacob Fry. And so, you know, there's this big to-do about these cops. And the cops, I saw on Fox and Friends, the cops said they were ordered to stand behind Obama. They didn't want to. But now they want to stand behind Trump, and they're not allowed to.
They're
in their uniforms.
In uniforms. So they came up with an approach.
So Brad Parscale, one of my favorite Trump supporters, he's the campaign manager, and I think he's doing a great job for Donald Trump. He's a Kansas guy and real tall dude. Brad Parscale, he wrote this out, and he says, the radical mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Fry, is abusing his power in an attempt to block the president's supporters from seeing him speak on Thursday. We refuse to be bullied by a left-winger resistor and won't let him stifle the speech of real Donald Trump or his supporters. So then Donald Trump retweeted that. And he said, the lightweight mayor is hurting the great police and other wonderful supporters. 72,000 ticket requests already. Dump Fry and Omar. make America great again.
Well, and we should mention about Minnesota's, what they were trying to do was put the costs of the security onto the campaign. And they were saying that the costs of, securing the Target arena or whatever it's called would have been over $530,000. First of all, that was astronomical. And second of all, that this would be something that, you know, would typically be handled for the Secret Service anyway. But they were trying to do things, you know, which were completely, you know, again, once again, a double standard. They're willing to have Obama there, but now suddenly they're going to try to stop the Trump train because they're terrified of the blue wall being broken and Trump winning Minnesota.
Right.
So there's an all-out blitz, and they have actually used the word, okay? They have actually used the word hateful in describing the president in this all-out blitz.
Surprise city government preemptively informed the Target Center that it would be responsible for $530,000 in security and other costs related to the event. The Target Center attempted to pass the cost onto the Trump campaign under threat of withholding the use of the arena.
Yeah.
The Trump campaign informed the Target Center that the U.S. Secret Service is solely responsible for coordinating security and that withholding the use of the arena would be viewed as a breach of contract and result in court action. Additionally, the ridiculous sum of $530,000 is more than 26 times the estimated security cost for a 2009 Target Center health care rally held by President Barack Hussein Obama. Police officials estimated that the costs then were around $20,000. Again, the costs are a matter of between the city and the Secret Service. So why in the world would they be charging $20,000 for Barack Hussein Obama in 2009? And could it be that maybe that's a bad mark on that. That's a black stain or a dark stain on the Muslim build up there. Are they suggesting that it's so dangerous now that they are packed with Muslims in Minneapolis? Are they really saying that?
Well, I don't
know. That sounds racist to me.
I don't know if it's that or if it's the fact that maybe so many more people want to come to the Trump event. But the point is
Obama never had a crowd that
size. They're telling a lie in terms of who's responsible for the costs, and they're creating a perception that this event wasn't going to take place, which is wrong as well. So again, this is all an attempt to try to stop the Trump train, which is coming to Minnesota, whether they like it or not.
Before we run out of time, I wanted to do a quick mention of Elizabeth Warren.
So, oh, yes.
She's doubling down on her lie. The Free Beacon came out with an article says, no, we got a statement from the city.
We got a statement from Riverdale, New Jersey, yeah, where she was teaching circa 1971. And you know what? She tried to say that they didn't offer her a job because she was visibly pregnant. And she used that term visibly pregnant over and over again on the campaign trail. Well, in actuality, they gave her a second year contract. She turned it down because she felt she needed more education. She was over her head.
What's interesting is she keeps up messing up like this. She's going to blow my prediction
that she's going to become the candidate.
Yeah, I was predicting Warren will pick Gillum, and then they'll try to get Florida and Michigan, and that was she's ruining it for me.
Well, yeah,
you know.
Well, there's like another 100,000 Democrats.
And by the way, one
run.
Other thing I wanted to say, I just saw recent polls where Biden's still way up. I couldn't believe that. Right?
Yeah.
This guy can't even fill like a shoebox with people. But here's the thing: about it is that. With Joe Biden, here's the strategy. I'm not going to guarantee, but I bet you. It's a thought that just ran through my head.
You're betting, but you're not guaranteeing.
Yeah, I'm not going to put money where my mouth is. I have a feeling that they're going to prop this guy up like they did Hillary. I don't believe Hillary's going to run, by the way. She just looks awful.
No. At this point, no.
But there's a lot of rumor about that. But I think they're going to prop Biden up to protect the investigation into Ukraine, because he's the blockade.
Yes.
They're going to say he's going after a political rival, right? And so that would be the best thing for Trump, because the easiest guy to beat is Joe Biden. I mean, I think that he's the easiest Democrat to beat. And I wouldn't be surprised if they prop him up, the swamp, the deep state, the mainstream media, everybody that's trying to protect protect the deep state against the Trump investigation that's going to bring down the house with relation to Ukraine and all the corruption associated with this whole Russiagate and things like that. So they would prop up Joe Biden, prop him up, keep him a lively candidate as best they can. But they got Bernie falling, you know, with the heart attack.
Bernie had a heart attack. I mean, then we can't diminish the significance of that.
Lying again and again and again, and she just can't stop lying, and she can't even own it, right? She can't say she can't even admit it. So she's got you got the liar. Then you got Joe Biden, and Joe Biden, they're just propping him up. He's still winning in the polls, and they're propping him up because as soon as he goes down, if he doesn't become a candidate, or if he says, okay, I'm no longer a candidate,
then that investigation is open wide.
Well, because he's not a rival anymore.
He can't be protected anymore.
So they're going to prop him up, and they're going to use him as a roadblock, a barrier to the investigation.
Because you know what? There's probably going to be more heads that are going to fall.
That would be funny. Hey, if you want to check out a podcast of today's show, the Scott Adams Show, be sure to check out scottadamsshow.com. Also, if you want to check out our live 9 a.m. to 12 noon Eastern Standard Time syndicated show, check us out over 1180wfyl.com, talkstreamlive.com, and also the source feed where everything comes from, even our listen line. Everything's put in our call-in line if you want to call into the show. It's live. All of that information is over at scottadamsshow.com. So be sure to check us out. We even have the WFYL listing. We have the Red State Talk Radio player, for Paul Preston, if you want to listen to him, over at the Scott Adams Show. So we have a whole slew of things over at scottadamsshow.com. So check us out over there. And with that, my name is Scott Adams.
My name is Leonora Cravota.
And we'll see you next time on the radio. Bye-bye now.
A long way from the suits in D.C., but close enough now to see this mess. Where I stand, the mound's getting steeper. They grab a shovel, dig a hole a little deeper, just to bury my kids right up to there.